we continue with our tafsir segment, and we're looking at the incident of Hudaybiyah, what had transpired at the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. There's a very lengthy incident, tabling and giving account as to what occurred at that time. Now, to take you through what had really transpired, the Mushrikeen of Makkah harassed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba, to the extent that they were forced to make Hijrah to Madinatul Munawwarah. And in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, in the 6th year after Hijrah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left with the Sahaba to Makkatul Mukarramah to perform Umrah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had appointed Sayyidina Namila binti Abdullah Al-Laythi radiallahu anhu to be the Amir of Medina in his absence. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also told the residents of Medina, as well as those living in nearby villages, that they should accompany the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba donned the ihram so that it was understood that they did not have any other intent except to perform Umrah, and they were not intending to engage in jihad. They even took the sacrificial animals with them. And upon reaching a place called Usfan, a person by the name of Bishr bin Sufyan had met Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and informed him that the Quraysh met at Ru'tua and swore an oath that they would not permit the Muslimin to enter into Makkah. Bishr also informed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Khalid bin Walid, who at that time was still a mushrik, had already reached a place called Khura'ul Ghamim with a contingent of horsemen to resist the Muslims. And after hearing this, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam changed his course and traveled towards the right of his original course. And since this was not the conventional route, the terrain proved very difficult because it was a series of rocky valleys. And the route eventually led to the path of Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah lies between Mecca and Jeddah and forms the boundary for the Haram. And the Muslims would not have passed Hudaybiyah if they took the conventional route from Usfan. However, it was necessary to alter the course of the route to avoid skirmishes with the Quraysh. And when the contingent of the Quraysh horsemen received intelligence of Muslims' new course, they returned to Makkah, and in the meantime, the Muslims had already reached Hudaybiyah. At Hudaybiyah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's camel sat down. When the Sahaba radiallahu anhu remarked that she was being stubborn, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pointed out to them that she is normally never behaved in this manner, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "That being that stopped the people of the elephants from entering Makkah has stopped her as well." Knowing well that the Quraysh were intent on resisting the Muslims entering into Makkah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commented that today I will comply to any request that the Quraysh make if it can be done on the grounds of fostering ties. While they remained at Hudaybiyah, water was very scarce. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu pointed to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that there was no water for wudu and for drinking purposes, and they all had very little water that was in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's cup. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam placed his blessed finger in the cup, and subhanallah, water began gushing forth from there. And the narrator of the hadith, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, said that the water was sufficient for them to drink and make wudu. He says that when we were asked as to how many we were about 1500. And if you were even 100,000, the water would have been sufficient for all. Sayyidina Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu narrates that when we talk of Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina, Allah addressing the Messenger saying that we've granted you manifest victory that has been mentioned in this verse, then the conquest of Makkah is referred to and people think is that, but what actually was referred to as the fatha mubin is the pledge of Ridwan. That is the pledge that took place at Hudaybiyah, and he mentions that we were 1400 or 1500. There was little water in the well of Hudaybiyah, all of which we drew up using until there was not even a drop left. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam learned about this, he came to the well and sat on the edge, and he then asked for a bucket and drew out some water which was brought to him. And when this was done, he added some of his blessed saliva to the water, according to another narration, and he made wudu and gargled his mouth. He then threw the water into the well, and then he stuck to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu to leave the well for a while. And after a while, when the Sahaba began to draw water from the well, there was sufficient water to quench the thirst of the Sahaba and the animals. The Muslims camped at Hudaybiyah. The Quraysh consequently sent بديل بن ورقة مخرز بن حفص حليث بن ألقم من أروى بن مسؤول الثقفي as envoys to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made it clear to each one of them that they had come to perform Umrah and had not had any intentions for jihad. And when Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi met Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he was stunned to see the love and devotion that the Sahaba showed to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would not allow the water falling from his limbs to touch the ground when he made wudu, and immediately they would scoop it up. They would also hasten to pick up the hair that fell from his head. When he went back, he said, وَفَطْتُ عَلَى الْمُلُوكِ, that I went to the kings, Kisra, Kisra, Khusru, all of them. And he says that, but I've never seen anyone, any person, being honored like how the companions of Muhammad honor him. I've seen things, but I've never seen anything like this. That when his wudu water falls down, كَادُوا أَيَّقْتَتِلُونَ, that it is as though they're almost willing to kill each other to get the water. Mata nakhama nukhamatan, that he would, you know, any phlegm or any saliva, anything fall out, and before it could reach the ground, there would be someone catching it and rubbing it on his body. And he advised them, and he said that, consider well what you intend doing. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then told Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu to proceed to Makkah to convince the Quraysh that the Muslims did not intend to fight. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu then pointed out to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that Quraysh recognized him as one of their greatest enemies, and that there are none from his tribe, the Bani tribe, present in Makkah to offer him any protection. Sayyidina Umar suggested to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, saying that rather you send Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, because Quraysh respected him more than they respected Umar. And consequently, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Sayyidina Uthman as an envoy to the likes of Abu Sufyan and others to clarify the position of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when Sayyidina Uthman explained the matter to the Quraysh, they remained adamant that they would not allow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to make tawaf of the Kaaba. However, they told Sayyidina Uthman that he was allowed to make tawaf while Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not there. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu remarked that he would not make tawaf if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not there to make tawaf. And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu was then detained in Makkah, but the Muslims received news that he was assassinated. And when the Muslims heard that Sayyidina Uthman had been assassinated, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Muslims that now they would not return to Medina without waging jihad against the Quraysh, because they had also created the atmosphere of war. And it was then that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took a pledge of allegiance from each of the Sahaba that they would fight with him till the end and never desert the messenger. And because of Sayyidina Uthman's absence, and he was the only Sahabi that could not swear his allegiance, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam added a second hand to the taking of the Ba'at and stating that this represents the hand of Sayyidina Uthman. And this pledge took place at a tree at Hudaybiyah. It was with regards to this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرِ, that Allah was well pleased with the believers when they pledge their allegiance to you beneath the tree. And it was for this reason that this pledge is called Bay'atul Ridwan, the pledge of Ridwan, Ridwan meaning Allah's pleasure. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu took the pledge, as referred to, as the those who were present were known as Ashab al-Shajra, the companions of the tree, because the pledge was taken at a tree. And although the Sahaba later learned the news that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's assassination was false, and from those days, there was false news. You know, we're talking about how much false news you have in the country these days that you don't know. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's assassination was also false news. Because the Sahaba had taken this pledge with such fervor and such vigor and such sincerity, they earned the reward of Allah and were awarded the medals of Allah's pleasure, as has been announced in the Noble Quran. Thereafter, the Quraysh sent Suhail ibn Amr to negotiate a peace treaty with the Muslims, and they gave him explicit instructions that the treaty should not permit Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to enter into Makkah, because the Arabs will then taunt them by saying that Muhammad forced an entry into Makkah. So Suhail ibn Amr entered into a lengthy discussion with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam until the clauses of the treaty were concluded. And in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih al-Muslim, it's reported that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu commenced writing the treaty, and he wrote, this is what has been decided by Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. And Suhail and his companions objected and said, we do not accept him to be the Messenger. if we did, we would not prevent him from making Umrah. Rather, you write, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I am Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, as well as Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then turned to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and said that, erase the words, the messenger of Allah. Sayyidina Ali replied, I cannot erase this attribute of yours, O Nabi Allah. This is out of reference and not disobedience. And thereafter, the treaty was commenced with the words, this is what was decided between Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. And in Sahih Muslim, it is reported that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed Sayyidina Ali to begin the treaty with the words, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. And Suhail ibn Amr objected to this by saying, what is this Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim? We do not acknowledge this. Rather, write something familiar, Bismik Allahumma, that you're in your name, O Allah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam acceded to their request and allowed that. And according to the book, Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, the words of the treaty were as follows, that this is what Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, has negotiated with Suhail ibn Amr. And there were in fact 10 clauses that were stated. Number one, no wars will take place for a period of 10 years. All shall live in peace and none shall attack the other. Number two, any person of the Quraysh who defects to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam without the consent of his seniors will have to be returned. Number three, any person from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companion who defects to the Quraysh does not have to be returned. And number four, there shall be a sealed bag between us, meaning that there will be no fighting between us. Other ulama have explained that this clause to mean which whatever has been concluded has been done so far with a clear heart. Hearts are referred to as bags because they contain many secrets. A sealed bag, therefore, mean denoting a heart. And then the fifth was, there shall now be none shall physically steal nor hurt another with betrayal. Sixth, whoever wishes to enter into a pact with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam may do so. The seventh, whoever wishes to enter a pact with the Quraysh may do so. And the eighth, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam shall have to return to Medina this year and not enter Mecca. The ninth, that he will return next year with the companions to perform Umrah. He may not then enter Mecca and stay for only 3 days. And the tenth, when you come, or when they come the next year, you may only carry those weapons that a traveler normally carries. All swords shall be sheathed, and that you may not enter with anyone else. And this was the words of the treaty, and it was stated that after the treaty was contracted, the Banu Khuza'a tribe, in accordance with the sixth clause, announced that they wished to enter into the pact with the Muslims. At that time, the seventh clause, it was actually this factor that led to the conquest of the Mecca, because the Muslims had reached Mecca when the Quraysh assisted the Banu Bakr tribe in a fight against the Banu Khuza'a tribe. So these were some of the points that were outlined in this very important treaty. What had now transpired is that the split by this treaty was obviously in favor of the Mushrikeen against the Muslims. So now Umar radiallahu anhu approached Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, O Nabi Allah, are we not on truth and the Quraysh not on falsehood? Will not the our martyrs be entered into paradise and then into Jahannam? So why should we tolerate this disgrace in our deen and return out of decision, Allah's decision between us by way of jihad? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I am Allah's messenger and will never disobey him. Allah's assistance is with me. Sayyidina Umar asked it, did you not tell us that we would make tawaf of Allah's house? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that I did not say that it will be this year. And thereafter Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu went to Sayyidina Abu Bakr and posed the same questions, and he received a similar treaty. And after the treaty was concluded, a Sahabi by the name of Abu Jandal radiallahu anhu escaped from Makkah and joined the Muslims at Hudaybiyah. And he pleaded to the Muslims that he stood to suffer terribly in the hands of the Mushrikeen because he turned to them. However, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was already bound to abide by the pledge, and no degree of treaty from the Muslims could shake this word. Eventually, Abu Jandal had to be left behind. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, may Allah distance the person who becomes one of us and then deserts us to join the ranks of the Kuffar because we do not need him. Allah will certainly create a passage for the person from the Kuffar who comes to us and returns to us. So this was a difficult moment for the Muslims to see Abu Jandal being returned to the Kuffar. Then there's the incident of when this treaty was concluded, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba to slaughter the sacrificial animals to have their heads shaved to release them from ihram, and anticipating that perhaps something would happen to allow them to complete the Umrah, no one rose to follow the instructions. But they were initially a bit reluctant. They did not know. They were hoping that there would be some change in the ruling. So there was some sort of evidence from the Sahaba radiallahu anhu at that time. And when no response was repeated, and after repeating the instruction, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to his wife, Ummul Mu'mineen, Umm Salama. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam narrated this account, and she then said, if you want them to slaughter the animals and shave their hair, go out there without speaking to anyone, slaughter your camel and call someone to shave off your hair. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this, Sahaba promptly followed in pursuit, and they all then started to shave their hair and slaughter the animals. There's also the incident of Sayyidina Abu Basir radiallahu anhu and his companions, and it's narrated in many of the books of Ahadith that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Allah will certainly create a passage for the person from the kuffar who comes to us and has to be returned in compliance with the clause, meaning that we will comply with that, however Allah will make a way out. And Abu Basir became a Muslim in Makkah and left to join the Muslims in Medina. However, the Mushrikeen sent two persons from Makkah to bring him back in accordance with the clause of the treaty, and true to his word, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed them to take him back. And when the three reached Dhul Hulaifa, Abu Basir managed to kill one of his captors, and the other one escaped to Medina. And upon seeing the person hasten towards him, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam commented, it seems as if something terrible, frightening has occurred. And when the person reached Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he explained that my companion has been killed and I will also be killed. And following close him came Abu Basir, and he said, O Nabi of Allah, Allah absolve you of your responsibility when you return me. Allah has now freed me from my captors. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this man is a true warmonger. If only there's someone to explain to him. Abu Basir understood from that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would return him again. And Abu Basir then quickly fled Medina and set up a camp along the coast. And when Abu Jandal heard about Abu Basir, he went and joined him. And gradually, many other Muslims from Makkah joined the two until they became a sizable group. And whenever a caravan of the Quraysh would pass by them en route to Sham, they would attack the caravan, kill the people, capture their merchandise, and the Quraysh sent a message to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam telling them that they wish to retract the clause and demand that the new Muslims of Makkah, they all can go to Medina. All persons wishing to defect to the Muslims could now remain in Medina. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent a message to Abu Basir and Abu Jandal, and they then returned to Medina through Munawwara. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed the message to Abu Jandal, who received it on his deathbed. He passed away holding the message in his hand. Abu Jindal was buried at that place, and his companion, in fact it was Abu Basir who was on his deathbed. Abu Jindal had buried him, erected a masjid there, which had become a source of memory or a yadgar for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had announced that in these verses that Allah sent his tranquility on the hearts of the believers because of what they had complied and they had submitted to the instruction of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this gives us an indication as to what had happened and what were the events that led to the revelation of the opening verses of Surah Fatah, and the events that led to the conquest of Makkah, because it was the clauses that were put in place at the time of this treaty that were violated, and that then gave the Muslims the reason to march onto Makkah. And it's for that reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina, that we have granted you an open victory. لِيَغْفِرَ لَقَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ وَيُتِمَّ نِعْمَةَ عَلَيْكَ وَيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا, so that Allah may forgive you for those shortcomings that have passed and those that may occur in the future, and so that he may complete his favor upon you and guide you to the straight path. وَيَنْصُرَكَ اللَّهُ نَصْرًا عَزِيزًا, and Allah may render your assistance that is in the most powerful way. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, it is Allah who sent tranquility unto the hearts of the believers. لِيَزْدَادُ إِيمَانًا مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ, so that their faith increase together with the faith they had. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, for Allah is the army of the heavens and the earth. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا, and Allah is ever all-knowing and wise. That is the opening verses of Surah Al-Fatah.